It is the first college admission season since the Supreme Court struck down race-conscious college admissions. That ruling reversed decades of precedent. It bars colleges and universities from considering race as one of many factors. What does that mean for the many schools that continue to seek diverse classes? Allison Byerly joins us. She's president of Carleton College, a liberal arts school in Northfield, Minnesota. Allison, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So we should say you had written an amicus brief in favor of affirmative action before the court. And just to kind of check in, I understand colleges and universities have many ways to achieve diverse student bodies, not just race and applications. They can consider geography, financial means, socioeconomic status. But is it clear what your admissions teams cannot do after this ruling?
You know, I think there's been a lot of conversation about how to implement the ruling, exactly what it means. And I think that people are pretty clear on the fact that in the admissions process, information about race and ethnicity can't be considered and can't be part of the system early on in the conversations. You know, the good news is that a lot of what we already do as part of our admissions process is part of a holistic review of many, many factors and many, many types of diversity that we look for. And so we do feel that although it's too early to know the outcomes, we feel very good about a lot of the things that we're able to do this year to try and ensure that we have the most diverse applicant pool that we can possibly build.
Yeah. And in its ruling about a year ago, the Supreme Court ruled students in their essays can discuss how race affects their lives as long as it is connected to their character, to their abilities. There's federal guidance documents mentioning that as well. Do you sense that your school or others are seeing more of this topic in application essays?
You know, it's been a trend for a number of years that for many students, you know, who they are and their identity is very connected to their interests, to the ways in which, you know, they function within their school communities. And so I don't know that there's been an increase, but we certainly do have an essay question that we added actually a couple of years ago that invites students as one of many options to comment on how they contribute to building an inclusive community within their current environment. And that's certainly an option that some students take and gives them an opportunity to talk about who they are and how that matters in the way that they undertake. Take their lives.
So I guess as I hear you talk about it, it sounds like perhaps not that much has changed in the practices your college uses. Am I hearing you right?
You know, where there's a difference, it really has to do with the ways in which we're trying to broaden pathways into the applicant pool. You know, we have done a number of things to increase the sense of access to Carleton. We work with a lot of community-based access organizations like QuestBridge and Posse. We've added an agreement with College Possible Minnesota, which also helps us identify students who might be interested. And I think one of the real worries about the Supreme Court decision was that it would discourage students from applying to certain schools, that it would make students feel like, well, I don't know how good my chances are, you know, so maybe it's not worth applying to a very competitive school. And so we've worked really hard to help students feel confident that their application will be taken very seriously and that there are lots of other ways in which their merits will come through. And finally, one thing that we did that we thought would help increase that sense of access is we did eliminate any preference for legacies within our applications process. We think that making it clear that it is not a factor that we're going to consider is one way of saying these kinds of preferences are going to be ruled out across the board. We're really just looking at the characteristics and qualifications of the students.
Yeah. President Byerly, you know, we've been talking about colleges, universities like yours that see student diversity as part of their missions and the tools that they can use. But do you sense whether there are other colleges and universities after the Supreme Court ruling placing a lower priority on racial and ethnic diversity?
You know, I think that it's not always clear for those who look at it from the outside that this has long been a part of how we all think about composing a strong college class, that when we look at students, we're not just looking at their individual merits. We have plenty of strong students who apply. You know, when choosing from among them, we want to compose a diverse class along lots of different characteristics because that enriches the learning experience for everyone. And I think a lot of certainly our peer liberal arts colleges continue to think about it in the same ways. I think that in some ways, what I hope we might find at the end of the day is that working harder at access, at the kind of front end of this pathway, and at helping students understand the value of this kind of education will lead to a diverse class, even if that's not something that we can consider at the moment of admission.
Understand. Many schools, including yours, are making a big effort to achieve the diversity that is central to their missions. Does that take a lot of resources? Does that take more resources than in the past?
you know, we are devoting some additional resources to our recruiting efforts. You know, it's so important that we make ourselves known and visible to students who might be from communities that haven't had a long history with Carleton in the past. And so whether it's sending admissions officers out to different communities, whether it's a couple of the partnerships that I mentioned earlier with organizations that, you know, convene meetings that bring students together, we have put a few extra resources out there in order to enhance our recruiting efforts.
Does that mean that there will be some colleges, some universities with shallower pockets that will find it harder to do this outreach that you're doing?
I think so, to be honest. I think what I think people often don't recognize is that the hardest thing is just getting students to walk in the door and look at the college. Mm. You know, that there are so many colleges to choose from, easy to look at places that are closer to home, maybe a community college in your area, rather than traveling halfway across the country to see a college you don't know. And so it is always work to get a student to look carefully at your institution. And I do think that schools with fewer resources will not be able to cast the net as widely as we've been able to.
Anything else you want to mention, kind of 1 year on from this Supreme Court ruling that so many of us paid attention to?
Well, I continue to think that it's important to consider diversity as among the things that contributes to a student's education. You know, that it's a shame it's become such a politicized issue. But I do think that the emphasis that we and other schools are placing on trying to offer as much financial aid as possible and looking very holistically at students across the whole application process will help us. And so I do feel confident that we'll continue to build a strong class.
We've been talking to Allison Byerly, president of Carleton College, speaking to us about admitting students after the Supreme Court affirmative action decision last year. President Byerly, thanks once again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.